As we continue worshiping together this morning, I ask you to attune your hearts to hear these words taken from Psalm 37, verses 3 through 7. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. And now, if you would please rise, and we'll join together as we sing, I Will Trust in the Lord, which is found on page 464 of the Red Hymnal. And now, let us hear these words taken from the Epistle to the Romans, taken from chapter 12, beginning in the 9th verse. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering and persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Several weeks, there's been a buffet set before us, finding ways to nourish our witness, to fuel our activity, to feed body and soul in ways that help us to survive and hopefully thrive in our daily living. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, in a little while, a buffet of cultural soul food will be set before us. And many of us may be thinking about that right now. I know I am. Prick us to focus for just a few moments on contextual soul food that might sustain us long after the taste of fried chicken and barbecue and pasta salad are gone. Lay before us a word that we might provide sustenance for the living of these days. Amen. So I can still picture it. My sister and I, my dad, our mom were in the stands. My brother was playing junior high football. And in a moment, he was running, got smacked pretty good, and fell flat out. Just didn't move. So now my sister and I, this is our older brother, my sister and I are shouting, "Get up, Chip! Get up, Chip! Come on, Chip!" My mother, "Chip! Son, get up! Get up, son!" No movement. So Sister Ann, my mother, and you have to know my mother, but my mother jumps out of the stand runs to the fence, jumps the fence right onto the football field. The refs and the coaches, they couldn't do nothing with her. So now she's out there and she's standing over him. The coaches and the refs are too. And you can hear her, get up, get up. And just for a moment, we were all concerned. For a moment. And then back in the stands, this guy's looking at my dad going, well, what just happened? What's your wife doing? The look he gave that man was doing her. She's doing her. So it was a pause. And then my brother gets up and jogs off the field. So now my mom comes back, jumps right back across the fence and back up into the stand, and we're all waiting like, okay, what just happened here? And my mom announces to everybody, he said he's just getting some rest. Friends, there are plenty of times in our lives when we are running from this thing or the next thing, family situations, personal relationships, workloads, health concerns, managing kids and teens. And as if that is not enough, we feel the weight through all of the stimuli from the intake of news streaming to us on our devices, in particular social media. And a few weeks ago, Pastor Ginger preached about news and views, being bombarded with negative images and news and doing our best to maintain the balance of feeding our souls with good news. We have to do that, friends. Sometimes the constant running and managing life causes us to experience a fair amount of stress. Stress is just one indicator that signals our body to rest. At some point, we must turn down and tune out all the noise around us. It's then we stop running or are forced to because life tackles us. There are times and even days when the soul food that our bodies crave the most is rest. Sometimes, as some of us say, we just need to take a minute. Rest is Sabbath soul food. Rest is to take a break, either temporarily or for a determined amount of time. It is to physically or mentally slow down, to allow our bodies and our minds a chance to rest or recharge. Now, as you know, there are many, many ways that we can rest. Some in the form of relaxation, just chilling. Rest in the form of getting lost in a good book or experiencing a movie. Rest in the form of sleep is essential, friends. It's essential. And rest in the form of just being. We know that there are numerous health benefits to getting rest. Rest is essential soul food. Now, just when I think I got this whole thing figured out, I come across the saying from a world giant who spent a significant amount of time trapped behind bars, longing for the days to be released so that he could continue the fight for justice and freedom. Here's his quote. As long as poverty, injustice, and gross inequity persist in our world, none of us can truly rest. That's from Nelson Mandela. I suspect that Mr. Mandela didn't say this in contrary to getting physical rest, more in the context of the soul of humanity joining for the ongoing work of justice and freedom. I also think that perhaps while Mr. Mandela was imprisoned, he still had this kind of restlessness in his soul. He had decades to think about that. But he was on to something, right? How can we rest when children go to sleep at night on an empty stomach and wake up the next morning and there is still no food? Honestly, how can we really rest when children are in poverty? How can we rest when innocent people are being shot and killed? How can we rest when LGBTQ people, like our own beloved T.C. Morrow, are continually excluded from the full life of the church by being commissioned and ordained? How can Foundry rest? How can we rest when people covered in beautiful black and brown skin are shouting still hashtag Black Lives Matter? My life matters. How can we rest when health care is being challenged and when we know there are millions of people that need it? How can we truly rest? In talking about the importance of rest, Episcopal priest, theologian, and author Barbara Brown Taylor comments on the importance of honoring commandment to observe Sabbath by setting aside at least one day a week. I know some people are thinking, I don't have one day a week to rest. Some of us have this notion, however, that our worth is more tied to what we do or what we produce than whose we are. She says that through the commandment, God woos us to rest. God woos us to rest. In the text that Martha Lau read for us, the Apostle Paul is conveying a model of living in love to the Roman community. I love this text, friends. One of the most asked questions that we pastors get when we are talking with couples that are getting ready to get married is, what scripture should we use for our wedding? This is one of the ones that we suggest. As a matter of fact, this is one of the ones that we study for pre-Cana. I'd like for you to listen to Eugene Peterson's version. He's a scholar, an author, and I'd say a poet. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Think about that one. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy folks. Be inventive in hospitality. And it goes on and on and on. I invite you to read that later. This is a beautiful rendering of love. In all the rat race of life, striving to be bigger and better, exceeding expectations, living large, being consumed with weighty dialogues about what our president is doing too much of or not doing enough of, political posturing from all sides, horrific terrorist attacks, foreign and domestic, and trying to unpack the truth in a story. By the way, contrary to popular belief, I believe there are actually four sides to our story and not three. Yours and mine and theirs and God's. My friends, every once in a while, might we just take a minute to rest? Rest on and in the sacred text to be fed with the notion of living in love. The Apostle Paul, who by many accounts was a bit of a rebel and likely needed some rest, I believe was hitting the mark here. Love from the center of who you are and whose you are. Love one another. Love our neighbors and even those we consider to be enemies. Rest in the text is sustaining soul food. So there I was in the hospital after getting hold of a bad burger. I mean, it was a bad burger. I was there for about 3 days. The first night was pretty tough. Did I tell you it was a bad burger? How many of us remember this TV series, Touched by an Angel? Did you like it? Yes or no? I loved it. I kind of scheduled my activities around in the evening so that I could make sure that I watch it. I was particularly concerned about Andrew, though, because you knew when Andrew showed up, something about was going about to go down, right? So here I am. I'm in the hospital, and I'm telling you, I'm at one of my weakest lows that I've ever been. This was about 15 years ago, maybe a little longer. And I haven't had a burger since then, maybe once in 8 or 9 years. A beef burger, that is, beef. So I'm laying in the hospital, and I see her come in, and she's in all this white flowing gown. And she came up to me, and this is like in the middle of the night. You don't get rest in the hospital. And so she's coming, and now I'm trying to move my body so that she can't get to me. Because this is what she said. I know she didn't say it this way, but this is what she said. I've come to take your blood. That in and of itself was a little bit concerning for me. So now I'm trying to literally fight this woman off. And all I'm hearing her say is, Miss Hand, be still. Please be still. And as I continued to wrestle with her, what was running in my mind, no, Miss Hand not going to be still, because right behind you it looks like there's Andrew. I see him. As it turns out, I was on these high-powered meds that was used to decrease my pain, but it increased my imagination to the point of hallucination. That was some rough stuff, friends. How many times growing up were you admonished to be still? Anybody out here? How many times? If you were in the Hand household, it didn't matter where you were. At church, in a car, at a school, in the movies, sitting at home. It was always this constant, sit down, be still, be still. And my mom would really just say, go over there and sit down somewhere. Where? Where? This was a resounding refrain in my home church. Shh, be still. My home church was full of kids. And thanks be to God, all these years later, it is still full of kids. But there we are, sitting on the pew. And my heartbeat number one, who is now 16, was about 3 years old at the time. And she was just fidgeting and fidgeting and moving and fidgeting and fidgeting. And I finally lean over, because she's like about 3 or 4 people down. I lean over and I go, Ashley, shh, be still. To which she leans back and says, Aunt Dawn, Ashley has to potty. Sisters and brothers and siblings, we can race the sacred text and notice many scriptures on stillness. In the 3 synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus takes a boat ride to get some rest after his teaching. There Jesus is on the Sea of Galilee, and the windstorms kick up, and the boat is being tossed about. And the disciples awaken Jesus from his deep sleep, and Jesus commands the wave, peace, be still. The writer of Psalms has much to convey about being still. Psalm 23, many of us know this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Say it with me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me still waters. Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. In Psalm 37th chapter in the 7th verse that we just read, again, receive this word. Be still in the Lord and wait patiently for him. For us, be still is to be in a state of silence, or as in the church, be in a state of hush. In the Hebrew text context, this be still is a concept of surrendering and letting go. Just a few moments ago, in between the 10:10 hour, Amanda and Pastor Ben and I had the confirmands up here. You know, we got this big celebration for them next year, friends. I hope y'all are going to be here next Sunday. And it was like the whole concept of be still with those kids was out of control. It wasn't happening. Just for a few moments, they sat on the front row. And then we rehearsed how we were going to go up and come down. So I looked at Pastor Ben, and Pastor Ben was like, you just did this one time. We've been doing this all the months. Then it struck me. We want them to be still. They're going to make a vow coming to the church. We're going to respond to them and receive them. What if we really rest with the concept of be still, letting go, and surrendering to God? This is what we want our young people to do. This is what we need to do. But I think surrendering is hardest, one of the hardest things that we can do. It's a very, very risky move. It may be even a little frightening for some of us. Many of us have this notion that we are better equipped to navigate our own paths as well as the paths of others. We have this better sense of when the timing is right, even if the one to whom we are surrendering is the Holy One, God. It's not really that we don't trust God. It's just that we don't think that God understands how this is important to us, that this is more important to us. Surely God doesn't understand that. So as much as we may trust God, we need to keep ourselves in it to make sure it comes out the way that we want it to come out. How is that working out for us? Then on the other hand, if we're really honest, there may be some of us who are not in a strong relationship with God, or maybe not even know God at all. Then how can we trust and surrender to a sovereign God when we are not in a relationship with this God? How can we trust this God to fix the brokenness in our relationships, the bitterness in our lives, hoarding the things that seemingly bring us comfort? Surely this God won't do it for us because we don't know this God. Or we might think of it this way. Will God have our back? To rest in God is to acknowledge that there is a higher being than the sum of all of us. To be still is to lay and to pour out at the heart of God and just be. Howard Thurman, an author, philosopher, and theologian, wrote, "Listen to the long stillness. New life is stirring. New dreams on the wing. New hopes are being readied. Humankind is fashioning a new heart. Humankind is forging a new mind. God is at work. This is the season of promise." My friends, in moments of rest and stillness, our hearts are tethered to God's hearts, and we are brought into an ever closer relationship with God. This is foundational to our faith. Now, I do caution us, being enraced and in stillness is not the only way we can experience God. It is a great way, yet not the only way. I'm sure some of you have experienced God in all sorts of places. I know I have. One of my final signs for the call to ordained ministry happened at a pool party with a bunch of youth running around. And in all of that craziness and in all of that liveliness and celebration, I felt the presence of God confirming my call to ordained ministry. This weekend is a significant time in the life of our country. We remember and honor the hundreds of thousands of United States service women and men who have died. All weekend long, there's going to be a memorial, a celebration of sorts, parades, marching, people going down to the National Mall, rubbing their hands across the names etched on the memorial walls. Those wonderful motorcycles, 300,000 of them. If I could just get one, I'd be happy. I long for the day to be on the back of a Harley riding and experiencing God. I suspect through all of this memorial celebration this week that somebody, maybe even walking through the Arlington National Cemetery, will experience God. My friends, my prayer is somewhere between rest and stillness, or the way I really like to think about it, laying low and letting go, we might attune ourselves to the movement of God's Spirit feeding our souls.
Friends, as we prepare to take our offering, know that when you give,